did you do after Laurel Banks school?
Oh, well, those were quite different days. I stayed, when I finished school and was accepted for university to do medicine, because my hires were absolutely pretty good. Mm-hmm. I stayed in the women's hostel, which was number 1 Lilybank Terrace. Laurel Bank was number 2, 3 and 4 Lilybank mm-hmm. Terrace. Mm-hmm. And number 1 was Robertson Hall, which was part of Queen Margaret Hall. Mm-hmm. And there was a lovely house and a garden just a few steps away. But so I started medicine, and my aunt left the chemistry department and started working in the cancer hospital, which was facing Garnet Hill Shoe. Now, we used to go to Garnet Hill Shoe with my aunt on Yontavim, because my aunt was a real workaholic. She worked every minute of the day and sometimes through the night. If she had an experiment going that had to be watched, she was there all night as well. Come home in the morning, have a bath, have breakfast, go straight back to the lab. She was a night workaholic. And she changed, and the top floor of the cancer hospital, it was research. There was Dr. Peacock was in charge. He and his wife worked there. And there was Dr. Beck, who was a pathologist. He was a refugee from Germany. And his wife, Dr. Hertha Beck, was a GP in Tall Cross. Mm. They had no children. And I was accepted for medicine. And my aunt was working there. And she came home one day and said Dr. Beck had invited her for coffee. And she said, her niece stayed with her. We said, bring her along. So we went, they lived far away out. You went by number 9 tram car practically to the very end of Ochenshugel. And they had a house there. Now, she had a practice in Tall Cross and Henry had a practice in Bridgeton. And she had not been well and asked Henry if he could help her to do some home visits. She invited him for coffee as well. And this is how I met my husband, Henry. But I was just 18. I was there with my aunt, and this gentleman was there. Of course, 9 years older when you are 18. You know, to me, it was just... But I remember going home in a tram car afterwards, and my aunt said to me, you made an impression. And I looked at her in astonishment, you know, because this gentleman was completely out of my sphere. So there you are, and that's how I met Henry.
And did you carry on studying medicine?
Well, then he proposed to me not very long afterwards.
Well, you know, he had gone through lots, I think. Was that not a generation that...
Well, he invited me out, and we went out a few times. But father-in-law got a practice in London, so Henry was born in London, and his mother, unfortunately, died shortly afterwards. So his aunt and uncle brought him up, because his mother's sister had no children, so she took him and brought him up. So he was brought up in London. The war broke out when he was 16, and he was supposed to study medicine in London. Mm-hmm. But because of the war, his father made him come to Glasgow, and that's mm-hmm. how Henry was in Glasgow.
So how old were you then when you were married?
I was 20.
And you gave up medicine?
Well, the understanding was Henry had a big 10-roomed house and a housekeeper. The understanding was I would carry on with my studies.
As well as running the whole house.
And the housekeeper was running the house, and that was the understanding. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I wasn't going to give up. Well, you know, he proposed to me. I said, no, and ran away. Then he proposed to me a year later again. He can't live without me. So it was on the understanding I would carry on. Mm-hmm. But, of course, in those days there was no pill. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And before you could say very much, I was pregnant. And when I was pregnant, I was sick all the time. And I got thinner and thinner. Food just made, the smell of food made me sick. And finally, I mean, I just literally could not lift my arm. Mm. So finally Henry called in an obstetrician to have a look at me, and he pinched my arm. I always remember him pinching like that, and now there is fat, yeah. But at that time there was just skin, nothing else. And he said to me, "Girl, you are on the point of starvation, no more university for you."
Mm. And that was it?
And that was it. So I had Nina, and 2 years later I had Peter. And of course, being a GP's wife, it was a 24-hour job, 7 days a week.
Because people phoned.
Unless you had somebody in the house who would answer the phone and take a message, you had to be there to answer the phone. You were on duty all the time. So the housekeeper left when I told her I was pregnant again, you know, with my second child. So that was the end of the housekeeper. And, you know, but I had a daily woman 5 days a week, every morning. But it was really, it was a full-time job being a GP's wife. Also, you know, some patients came to the house. There were two rooms which were for patients, as well as a sitting room, dining room. Then there were the premises at the back, and then there was a great big staircase with a great big stained glass window and the grandfather clock, and then another flight of stairs and four big rooms and a bathroom there, and then there were two rooms in the attic.
That would
okay. It
was a huge house for a 20-year-old girl. It was daunting.
Especially when you had been used to sharing a small room with three other families.
Well,
that must have been a very strange culture
it
shock.
Was.
When did your mother come to join you?
Oh, no, my mother meantime decided that she was going to study beauty culture.
She must have been some person.
And she attended classes. It was a 2-year course because it included massage and it included actually making of cosmetics and creams. It wasn't just makeup. Mm-hmm. It was quite a deep study. And she did very, very well. And my stepfather didn't want to go to Israel, and my mother was determined to go. Don't forget that Stalin did not die till 1953.
But your mother must have ended, well, we know she came
to Glasgow. Well, she worked as a beautician in Israel all those years. She came to Glasgow when Nina was born in 1953. And then she came again in 55 when Peter was born. And then she used to come every 2 years or so to visit for July and August, you know, the hottest months. She didn't, well, when she finally stopped working, which was, she was well in her 70s, she would come, I would go over there in May and then bring her back with me, and then after Yontif I would take her back again. But by the age of 84, when I went there, her doctor told me that she had breast cancer and only had a year or two to live. So I brought her to live with us in June of 89. Well, she lived 20 years after that, which I'm sure the surgeon would be very surprised if he knew.